first one again. Can we get verse 2? It's glory just to walk with him. It is glory when the shadows fall to know that he is near. It is glory when the shadows fall. And on him be the glory forever and ever. Harps and with vials and stones of death throng in the presence of Jesus and sing this new song. Okay.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one. A lovely evening, isn't it? I won't try and keep you too long tonight. The Lord bless. I really enjoyed the word this morning. And Spirit of God speaking in the meeting as well. And not great. Not everywhere where anything like that happens anymore, you know. And it's getting less and less. That's a sad thing, but we want the Spirit of God to move in the meetings. And we believe that's what we need. Praise God. I want to read you from Psalms 85 this evening. And Matthew's father-in-law, Derek Hines, he's gotten home and everything. And he didn't have a stroke or a heart attack. They think it's something less bad. And Matthew's just thanking everyone for prayers. And you heard Andrea mention this morning when she's praying, her daughter's wee baby, they thought they might have to, something wrong with the hips and everything. But everything has been all right then. The Lord's touched her. The Lord's done something for her, and we just thank the Lord for that. I remember in preaching in, was it Schuyler, Nebraska or Oklahoma? It was one of them places in America. It's a long time ago. It was 1981. And they brought a wee baby in the service. How I ended up preaching there was, they got me to preach on the mile. They call it the mile over there. It might have been Schuyler, Nebraska, actually. They call it the mile. And all the cars go round this mile, young people and everything. And they got me to do an open air with this church, preach. And I preached to them. And the cars stopped round the mile. I don't know many cars, and they were out drinking and everything. But the Lord moved on a lot of people that night that went round that mile. And I don't know who the young lads were, but they got me to go and preach in their church the next morning. And it was a really big Pentecostal church, and the pastor and everything agreed, and they got me to preach. And they brought a wee baby up, and his hips was out of joint and everything. And the Lord instantly healed it. And you heard them click it in, and God healed the wee baby right in the meeting. And we had a powerful meeting. But there was a man in that meeting, which was a converted Roman Catholic. And he prophesied over me in Davy Robinson's house when I was a wee lad. I wasn't even serving the Lord. And I stayed in his house when I went over there. And when we met up again, and he couldn't believe it, because he prophesied over me in a house service all them years ago. I don't know even how many years ago. I wasn't very old at the time. And I can't remember the man's name, but I know he's a converted Roman Catholic. He's actually a preacher. And the Lord done it. God's able, isn't he? Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you, because I don't want to keep you long tonight. It's a good evening. And maybe some people want to go for a wee drive or something, but the Lord bless those that came tonight. Psalms 85, verse 6. Let's stand our feet. And I'm going to read one verse. And I was asked to preach at where there was a series of meetings where they were talking about revival. And I was asked to preach Thursday night past, and I preached, and the Lord really moved. And just some thoughts. I won't go into everything tonight what is in this, because it's too much. So I'll just give you some highlights and just pray the Lord will just bless us this evening. Psalms 85, verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Let's bow our heads this evening. If you have a need tonight, just lift your hand to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you tonight that your ears ever open to our cry. We bless you this morning for what we heard, called of God, redeemed by the Son, and sealed by the Holy Ghost. We are standing tonight because of Christ, for he is our mediator, and he intercedeth for us. And we thank you that we have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. We bless you this evening for the power of your blood and for an endless life. We thank you, Lord. Help us this evening, I pray. Wash me afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than the snow. Sanctify us, cleanse us, fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me. And I thank you that you do. Lord, you see the hands raised. You know every single need. Whether it's financial or spiritual, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you will meet every single need in Jesus' precious name. Bless the meeting now and each one here in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. Now, just for testimony from what John preached this morning, there was a brother in the service this morning, and he had just recently sent in a CV to a big company. A very big company. And they rang him. And there's a chance they're going to get him the job. And if he gets this job, it'll be a real promotion for him. And I dream, and you know who I'm talking about, I dream me and him was in jail. And we got out of it. Well, I'm getting out of it. I'm not going back to it tomorrow morning. He's still, unfortunately, in it at the minute. But in the dream, the two of us get out of a jail. So his promotion's on the way, but it's powerful what John said. And then in this prophecy, tongues and interpretations equal to prophecy, said about the CV this morning. It was all mentioned. Now that's the Holy Spirit when that happens. How many believes that? Yeah. And the voice of two or three witnesses, which you had the preacher and you had the gift. There's your two. Praise God. So we just believe in the Lord. And Brother Laurie mentioned a few weeks ago by promotion as well. And Philip did as well. So the Lord's good. Now, just like God can do them things and other things, God could add to this work overnight. I'm telling you. I know people that was having meetings. And it was Sharon's auntie. And she went to bed and she dreamed. And that six going to church. Six people. That was on a Sunday night. Prayer meeting night, the meeting had six. They had six in a good meeting. They were thinking of quitting. They had only six going. And Sister Anna went to bed, she went to sleep, and she dreamed that she had made a massive big pot of stew or soup, and she was ladling it out to all these people. Most of them was Africans. And she was ladling all this stew and soup out. And that Sunday morning, 18 people landed at the church door looking to know, were they having a meeting there and could they join them? And they ended up in Rogers Church, close to 100 people from six. And they never went out and won nobody. God brought them. The Lord brought them. Amen. God done it. But he fulfilled her dream, what she was saying, what she was doing. Praise God. Now, we Anna, she's a good age of a wee woman. She's living over here now, you know. Down in Gormley direction. I want to have to go down to her. You know that wee woman, she's some woman, you know, because she went to Africa and everything, took the bus herself and all the people. She drove the bus. Roger didn't do it. She done it. She was as good as two men. There's some women like that. I'm not even joking about it. There's some women like that. There's some powerful women. You know, we should preach a few sermons on women in the Bible, great women. Amen. This fellow years ago preached about great men of God, but there's great women of God as well, isn't there? And I tell you, one great woman was Susanna Wesley. To me, she was a great woman. And her testimony really blessed me. But isn't that wonderful this morning how what the Lord done? The Lord bless you, Brother John. But hear this word tonight, and I was thinking, it's praying in my office all week, thinking, what are you going to go somewhere to preach about revival? Because you know and I know only God can send a revival. And that's one of the first things I said in the meeting. If a man can give me a recipe for to bring a revival, give me it. And we'll start one tomorrow. But you can't do it. But there's one thing you can do. You can go to the Word of God and look what the recipe is. And if you follow God's instructions, you'll get what it says in the book. And God has instructions for revival. There is instructions for revival. Amen. And if we're willing to follow them instructions, we can have the blessing of God. Just like there's instructions in Mark 16, lay hands on the sick and they recover. In James, call the elders of the church, anoint with oil, prayer, sick, faith, save the sick. Them's God's instructions. And here the psalmist David is praying. This is a prayer of the psalmist David. Wilt thou not revive us again? that thy people may rejoice in thee. Wilt thou not revive us? Now the first thing I want to bring out tonight, and this is the first thing you need to do, and I need to do, and Andrew Beecham preached a lot about this, not on revival, but on this phrase of saying it. We need to recognize our need. That's number one. We need to recognize the need of revival. And there is a need of revival. Now we're kidding ourselves, and the church world in general is kidding themselves if they think there's no revival. And William Branham talked about a move that would happen before the rapture. Jack Cole prophesied about it. He said that God spoke to him. And he said, Jack, I want you to look up. And he said, do you see that wee dipper? And this was in the sky. And he said, yes, Lord. And there's a wee small dipper in the sky. And he says, then look, I want you to look over there. And there's a big dipper. And he said the big dipper was so many times bigger than the wee dipper. And he says, what's happening now is the wee dipper. That's in the time of Jack Cole. But what I'm going to do before I come again, feel like the big dipper. That's what God showed Jack Cole. Now I know people want to put everything in 1960. That God poured himself all out in 1960 and he sort of retired after that. Well, I don't believe that. I'm sorry. I can show you where God moved after 1960. You see in my office where I'm sitting and I study. In front of my office where I sit and study on the wall, I have a time chart revival. And every revival that there's been is on that chart. There's a Sousa Street and there's a trail where it goes all through America, Canada, everywhere. Then there's a British revival. And we never hear the British revival talked about. Then there was revivals here. God has sent revivals. What about the China revival? What about when the Iron Curtain came down and God moved? And there was a man, David Hathaway. I remember that he prophesied many years ago, and he even drew it on a map where God told him where he was going to move. And God moved in the very place he told David Hathaway. And David Hathaway had a big campaign, and he had it on a sports field, you know, for the run and do all them things. And I remember years ago seeing the video of it, and there's a fellow with his foot and ankle broke, and God healed him. That was David Hathaway. And David Hathaway himself, now, he's a strange-looking man. How many ever saw David Hathaway? How many knows who I'm talking about, David Hathaway? Isn't it true? He's a strange-looking man. Now, I'm not being funny when I say that. That's who God picks. God picks the people you would never pick, and I'd never pick. And that's the Bible. Because when Jesse brought all his sons out, and he says to the prophet, this is them all here, and he says, no. Are you sure that's them all? He said, well, there's one out there, but he wouldn't look at him. He said, no, he's the one. Who God picks is not who man picks. Didn't Brother Beecham preach about it the last time he was here, where the disciples picked a man and they drew their straws for him? But you don't read nothing more about him. Now, that's not to say he didn't do nothing, but you don't read anything more about him. But you read about Paul that God picked. You read a lot about him. Amen. You know, Leslie Hale, many years ago, I wasn't in the service, but Leslie Hale, many years ago, preached on a man called Isidore McGrindle. And he preached a sermon about Isidore McGrindle, and he said to the congregation, have you ever heard of Isidore McGrindle? Nobody ever heard about him. And I know you never heard about him. And Leslie Hale says, you never heard about him, for he never done nothing. And they preached a whole sermon about it. And he preached about winners never quit and quitters never win. That's where that saying come from. Leslie Hale was a man who preached it. I know I preached a sermon on it, but that's where I got it from, Leslie Hale. He's a man who preached it. Winners never quit and quitters never win. Amen. But there's a need of revival, and God can send revival. Revelation 3 in verse 15, you could read through it. And it says, if rather you're cold or hot, or spew out of my mouth. And we're living in the Laodicean church age. And it is prophesied in the Laodicean church age that this is the last church age, for the Bible says many will depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And you see so many people on all these different sites, and they're meant to be ministers and men of God, And all they're talking about is themselves. And they never talk about the Lord Jesus. And then there's other groups, and they say they're revelated and revelatoried and all these wonderful sayings, and all they preach about their own selves. But it's Jesus Christ we must preach about. Amen. And we heard this morning, it's all because of Him we're complete. It's because of what the Lord done. Now the need is apparent wherever there's coldness, no vigor, no fruitfulness, we need revival. If you have a tree and the tree does not produce apples, say it's an apple tree, the first thing you need to do is tick-till it with a saw. And you need to give it a real good pruning back, and then you need to dig around it. Like a fellow one time in a herd at an orchard. And he said, my goodness, the woman said she left him a lot of money, and he says, he left me an off the Nile orchard, and she left him a spade. But she left him instructions to dig around all the trees. And he dug around the tree thinking he's going to find gold head. And that year, his orchard produced the best crop it had produced in years, because he dug in around all the trees and he brought a bit of life back to them. Amen. And I could take you to orchards over the country here that I pruned for 30 winter times. And if you saw them when they pruned, you'd say to yourself, boy, you should give them trees an awful going over. But I tell you what, the next year they had a lot of fruit. And I tell you, we need revival. How many agrees tonight that we need revival? The church as a whole needs revival. What claims it's the bride of Jesus Christ needs a mighty revival. I tell you that right now. And I tell you, where there's no gifts of the Spirit, where there's no fruits of the Spirit, that's a sure sign revival's needed. And God can give us revival. And we need God to do it. And David's praying. David's asking the Lord, wilt thou not revive us? He's praying. And we need to do what David done. So the first thing that we need to acknowledge is revival needed. The second thing is the source of revival. The source of the Bible's not better preachers, but people have been brainwashed for years. If we could get such an imam, we would have great services and great meetings. That's not true. You don't need better preachers and better men. You need better prayers. And the church of God today needs to pray and seek God. And there is a source of revival, and that source is the Spirit of God. Amen? Now, you know, you don't need me to tell you, and you've heard it here many times, and I know you brothers believe it. All I'm doing is reminding you tonight, you know what makes a meeting is God's Spirit. It's not the good preacher, it's God's Spirit. You could have a man and he's not as good a preacher as another man. But if he's anointed, that'll make a meeting. If the Spirit of God's there, it'll make a meeting. You could have somebody that can talk well and he's all the phrases and the sayings and everything's nice and correct and it's so beautiful, but it's a dead letter. But it takes the Spirit and the Word. And we need the Spirit of God. Will thou? This is what the psalmist David said. Well, now, the psalmist David knows that God is the source. Will thou revive us? And we need to pray, Lord, will you revive us? That's our source tonight. That quickeneth. No artificial appliances will bring a revival. They won't do it. It's like the fellas that the sermon that was preached as well, and maybe one of the brothers here preached it about kindling your own fire. And you know you can kindle your own fire, but it won't do anything. Amen. But when God sends the real fire, it will produce something. It really will produce something. So there's the need of revival. And then the second one is the source of revival. And number three is the means of revival. Wilt thou not? So the psalmist David is saying, wilt thou not? Wilt thou not? God's our means. God is our means. I tell you, I don't care if it's finance. I don't care what it is. God is our means. You could depend on a man and he could be a good man, or an organization could be a good organization, or a job, anything. All them things can fail, but God can't. God cannot fail you. God can't fail you. And when all them things fail, God will not fail you. And the psalmist David says, "Wilt thou not?" He's asked the question to God, "Wilt thou not revive us?" The fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. James 5:17. "Wilt thou not revive us?" If we can pray a fervent prayer, God will revive us. Now you said that was Elijah, but the same Bible says he was a man subject to like passions as we are. This is written here so that we can look at it and take heart. Elijah was just a man, but God heard his prayer. You could go to them farmers in another scripture where they prayed and God sent them revival and they were just farmers. God will hear the sincere heart on a sincere prayer. And it could be a whisper or it could be loud. That's not important either. Because I want to tell you that Hannah's lips moved and the old priest thought she was drunk. He thought she was drunk. Well, when he come to find out, she's praying for a child. And she got that child called Samuel. And she gave him back to the Lord. And when he was still a young man, he rose in the night. And he said, "Did you call me?" And he said, "No, I never called you," to the old priest. "Did you call me?" And he said, "Never called you." And this happened several times. And the old man recognized God was calling him. And he says, "If he called you again, say, 'Here I am, the servant here.'" And God called him again. Hallelujah. Amen. That's another man that God chose. Amen. You know what Brother John mentioned this morning? God spoke to Brother John, and I believe it, 30 years ago. Now you think of this. In 1991, how many years ago is that? 33 years ago? That's 3 years before that. I was in Czechoslovakia, all arranged to go into Russia with Bibles, everything. Wouldn't you think you're in God's will if you're smuggling Bibles in, wouldn't you? I thought I was. I'm with a group of people, we're smuggling Bibles into Russia. We're doing a great job, we're all preaching and all that. And the angel of the Lord comes down in where I'm staying, right in the room. And the voice says, "You shall not go to Russia." Audible voice. And then the voice says, "When they go, they'll have trouble. Then I've seen the vision, what the trouble they'll have." And he said, "They'll be arrested." Then the same voice said, "Thou shalt depart from this work till another I show thee." How then, what are you going to do with that? When people say to you, "Tom, why don't you do this? And Tom, why did you do this?" What would you do if someone happened you look at? And that's the same voice that spoke to me in 1989 in a jail. The exact same voice. The same presence. And I tell you, they went on ahead. They were arrested. And the wheels blew after the actual vehicle and the engine blew out as well. Everything went wrong that could go wrong and they were arrested and everything. And I didn't stop there. Now this is something what maybe I haven't ever mentioned, but one of them people that was in that vehicle, they physically attacked me as well. And I seen that all in a dream. I saw that someone else would take them over. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. And they would attack me physically, and they done it. And God told me what to do. And they went back to America. Our base was in Reno, Nevada. And I was meant to go there. Did you know I was meant to go to Reno, Nevada to live? And take over a church there called Glory Temple. I was asked to do it. The plans was there to build a brand new church. When I preached there, they had powerful meetings. I was only a young fella. And that person that was in charge when we were in Czechoslovakia, when she got back to Reno, Nevada, every single letter that I sent in response till many and Dwayne folk, she hit every one of them. So they were waiting on my response on the letter for me to come, and they never got a response because she hid them all. Then one day, old Minnie found out she hid them, and she was chased back to where she come from. They chased her. That's the truth. And that wee woman's dead now, died shortly after that. Wee Minnie, she was a powerful woman, a big Dwayne, but I was meant to go there.
But you see, it's like John preached this morning. He said this morning, we're in this room by the what? Our will? God's will. It wasn't God's will that I'd go there. If it had been God's will, sure I would have went. It wasn't God's will. Just like it wasn't God's will, I'd go into Russia. Why not? I don't know. The same God that told me not to go to Russia said, you'll go to Africa. And thousands will come. The same Holy Spirit. And when you go there, people will come with no effort. They'll just come. That's the same God that said it. God can send revival. I can tell you that. And I tell you, you know, in 2005, I found a wee book last week. I went to Africa and Zimbabwe twice in 2005. The second time I went, there was 350 conversions in one service. In one service. And out of the few services I had, there were 718 decisions for the Lord. You'd say, what's that got to do with us? If we didn't have our meetings here, I maybe couldn't have went. That's why the devil wants these meetings closed. I'm only referring to myself. And I'm a nobody. There's others as well here that go out and preach. But you have a base to go from. How many understand what I'm saying tonight? You say, but you could have been in an North church and done this and that. No. I was in an North church for a long time, went on a trip, and they never even said to me, how did you get on, brother? They never named it. Went for 6 months, and they never mentioned it. And they never even said, will you give a report? Will you come to the front or nothing? They never mentioned a thing. Nothing. I tell you, God can send revival. God can send revival. God is the one that can send it. Psalm 65, verse 9. Thou visited the earth, thou waterest it, thou greatly enriched it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Isaiah 40, 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, is the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. People are preaching that God's near you. Stop now, and you better be careful you don't spend them all. That is nonsense. You can never out-ask God, never outspend God. Here the Bible says he doesn't faint and he's not weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He's far beyond what we can think, and he will do far above what we can ask or even think. That's the Bible. That's the word of God. So we ask God, what about Reinhard Bonnke? He's walking down the street and he needed money. And he said, I'll not ask for the money. I'll ask for, what was it? To use brothers, it wasn't so many million souls. It wasn't thousands, it was millions. Millions. He didn't ask for the thousands. He asked for the million. Now, anybody that heard that said, did you ever hear the like of that? He's asking for millions of souls. But he saw it. He saw it. Now, the first times he went out, it didn't happen like that. When you see his meetings with the big crowds, that never happened like that the first times he went out. He rode about in a push pack with an accordion, and him and Annie, his wife, went round in a wee small tent, and they preached a handful of people here and there. But then at a meeting, at a conference meeting, there was a prophecy given with a man that just looked like my dad when my dad was in his 50s, big man, my beard, and he prophesied over Reinhard Bonnke. And the prophecy said, the Lord will no more restrict you, but he placed upon you the anointing of 1,000 men on one man. You said, I don't believe that. No matter where you believe it or not, it happened. This is the thing about when God does something. You don't have to believe it. God will do it anyway. If it's a word from the Lord like we heard this morning, God will do it. You don't need me to tell you, God used Reinhard Bonnke, especially in Africa. He came here to Belfast and people said, huck, don't see much special about it, but I tell you what, you go into Africa. See, his commission wasn't in Belfast. His commission was in Africa. That's the difference. God told him, Africa shall be saved. And you can say what you want about African people and all you want about them, but God loves them. God still loves them. And God saved them. I tell you, you see, God's the one sends revival, the subjects of revival. Us, it's a personal need. Then there's the fact of revival. Now I'm going to close because my time's going. The fact of revival. You know what the fact of revival is? And the psalmist David says it in this same verse. that thou people may rejoice. Rejoice. God wants us to rejoice. Amen. We're always give me give. How many can understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's wrong to do it. But many of us start out for prayers. Give. Lord, will you? Lord, will you? But how's about, Lord, we thank you? Lord, when we count our blessings, we're overwhelmed. I was going to ask Gary to sing that wee song. I'm not sure if we knew it or not. I'm sure he does. You know that wee song, I have food on my table, I have shoes on my feet, I thank you, Lord. It's a wee song. I remember hearing it years ago. I thank you, Lord, food on the table, shoes on my feet. I thank you, Lord. With food on the table, with shoes on our feet because of the Lord. I tell you, it's God's grace. God's grace. But when real revival comes, God's people will rejoice. Brother Tom, can you show me the scripture, the evidence for that? I can. I'll take you to the book of Acts and we'll read about Philip the evangelist. And he went down to the city of Samaria and he never preached some big fancy doctrine. He preached Christ. And the power of God fell. And the devils cried out and left people. And the Bible says there was great joy in that city. They rejoiced when God moved. Many people were delivered by the power of God. A real revival will make me rejoice. A real move of God will make you rejoice and praise the Lord. Amen. Wilt thou not revive us that your mere people will rejoice in you? I'm going to read two more scriptures and I'm closing. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the Lord, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Jack Cole said, you cannot get this. What I've got and what's happening unless you get down real low. You'll never get it. You'll definitely not get it saying, we're the bride of Jesus Christ. Come back tomorrow night. The other boy that's preaching will have a message for you. It's for mine's only to the bride. That's pride. I'm sorry, but that's pride. That makes me feel sick, statement of God, inside. Because the Spirit of Jesus loves everybody. Yeah. Amen? Even the very foolish virgins the Lord loves. Yeah. And even though they're not in the bride, they're still saved. And they're going to be there. The Lord's blood's still taking them in. Yeah. And we should have a love for them, for everybody. And they might not come right up to what we believe. That's God's business, actually, how far they're going to come up. And we might think we've come up a long ways, but God could say, wait a minute, there's a lot more for you to come up you don't even know about yet. Amen. The Bible says we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. And I tell you, when we humble ourselves, a contrite spirit and a humble heart, God will revive. Amen. And when we come humbly before the Lord, when we acknowledge our condition, we say, Lord, we're to tell you, Lord, and be it without you. Be it without you. Some people think it's strange when a preacher says, Lord, I need you. But sure, it's the truth. What can you do without the Lord? Nothing. You can write down your notes and your headings and everything, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if God doesn't breathe on us, just a dead letter. It might be one of the best dead letters you ever seen, but still a dead letter. But you've got a wee fellow with one verse, nothing written down, God could breathe on it. I tell you, I don't think Philip had anything written down when he went out, but he preached Christ. God breathed on it. Amen. He had the fire of God. Amen? Hosea 6:1-3, and I'm closing. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day will he raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, as going forth as prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain, and the former rain unto the earth. Hallelujah. Now that's an orange sermon. I can't get into that tonight. The former and latter rain. But I've said it before, the early church, the rain come on them at the beginning when they started. That's the day of Pentecost. The rain come on the early church. And you know you need the early rain to start the seed to germinate and grow But to finish that crop off, you need rain again. Now, I don't want rain at the minute. Somebody prayed last week for good weather. Praise God to that. May the Lord give us a real blessing of it. May overdo it. And I know in a week or two they'll be crying, Lord, we need rain. Amen. But you know, the former and the latter rain. The one rain starts it, the one rain finishes it. If ever was a day we need the rain of the Spirit of God, we need it today. But he says, I'll give you them both in the one month. Amen. Because he says, I'll do a quick work. I'll cut it short in righteousness. The Lord bless you tonight. Let's stand our feet this evening. Praise God. You know, I'm going to challenge you tonight. Is that all right? I'm not going to ask you to do nothing in this room, but I'm going to give you a challenge. And this challenge, do you ever have a challenge where, you know, somebody could give you a challenge, say they want you to lift 100 kilos in weight, and you could never do it. You wouldn't go home the night and try and lift 100 kilos now. You start with a half of it. You do it for a few nights, and then a bit of practice, and a few months later, you get to 70, and you get the 100. But I want to challenge you, if you're not seeking God the way you know in your heart you should seek him, I want you to start taking time set aside for the Lord. Amen? If my people will humble themselves and fast and pray, they will hear from heaven. I believe in fasting and praying. People look at me and they think he's a big fat lad. He would never fast. And I'm not saying I'm fasting a lot. I'm not telling you that because I'm not fasting a lot. But I'm going to tell you this. Years ago, I fasted a lot and I was really skinny. And there's a fellow comes to this meeting and he's know who he is. He's real character. He says to me, Tom, you need to stop that fasting and start the feasting. But I think I need to reverse it now. I think I need to fast again and stop the feasting. But it's good to fast. But the Bible says a day is a fast the Lord's chosen. A day. Now some people say that you shouldn't fast publicly and there's times you shouldn't and you shouldn't tell nobody about it. But what about when the Bible calls for a nation to fast? And I tell you, when you look at the condition of this land tonight, we are in need of a move of God. Politicians have already failed. They're finished. It's over. Sorry, it's over. There's not one of them worth a vote. Let's be honest about it. The silliest things that could be caught doing, it's happened. And it's not the one that's with or. And I don't even want to mention it. It's a shame even to talk about the things that's done sacred. That's the Bible says. I'm not even going to mention any of it. But we need to fast and pray. If God's going to raise anybody up, they need to be his picking. Isn't that right? Let's come tonight and close our eyes. We're going to pray now. And Brother Gary's going to come and praise God. The Lord bless you tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you tonight that you've never changed. Lord, you said in Hebrews 13:8, I am the same yesterday, today and forever. Malachi 3 verse 6, you said, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Therefore, your sons of Jacob are not consumed. Lord, we thank you tonight. If we ask for rain, you're going to give us rain. The former and the latter rain in the first month. Lord, you know our hearts tonight as a deer panteth after the water brooks. So may our souls thirst after thee, O God. Make us to be thirsty people for you. And I pray that you'll visit us with a mighty revival of the Holy Ghost. Break out upon your people with the power of God, I pray. Help us to pray more. Help us to serve you, Lord. Lord, move on us. Give us a hunger for the things of God and a thirst for you. Oh, Lord Jesus, your word says, if we humble ourselves and fast and pray, we will hear from heaven. Oh, God, speak to your people from heaven, I pray. Lord, we thank you even this day you have spoken to us. You have spoken to us. Help us to obey and to listen clear to what you have said. And we praise you and thank you for it, Lord. Help us to rejoice and praise you for how you have spoke to us, to give you thanks for how you have talked to us, Lord. We thank you for it tonight. We I thank you for the preacher, for the gifts of the Spirit, for the musicians, for each and every one in this room. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, I pray for people making decisions that could alter their life. Pray for your wisdom and your guidance, oh God, that they'll know with surety what they're to do, the right move they're to make, that you'll show them clearly. In Jesus' precious name. Father, we thank you tonight that you've never changed. Lord, bless each one now, I pray. Help us to keep on keeping on and listening to you and not the enemy. And Lord, meet every need, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless each one. God bless you. Amen. Well, I didn't know that week, of course, Tommy was referring to, but let us then count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done.